Soldiers. Before I say it falls on the floor, you pick it up and kiss it. Then for a long time when I got, when I was already an old guy of about 25 or 30 years old. So then I saw some place, well, it's not. It fell on the floor. How could you kiss it? Right? So you don't. Then about, I can't tell, but I'll say 20 years later, I was eating a cookie and it fell on the floor. I picked it up and continued eating it. I'm a guy, okay? I brushed it off, right? Okay. But come on, you guys know you've done it, right? He said, Ribono Shel'Olam, you're not going to kiss the safer because suddenly you say, right? But the cookie is. So I reverted back to my childish but correct position. Okay, I haven't been exactly in the mode of the last of thinking about it's like when you're spending time in a hospital and with and with somebody who's sick, and so you're not exactly focused on your head doesn't go focused on. And I know it from last year, a year and a half ago, from Hadassah. Hadassah, and I know it this year from Hadassah. There are two different Hadassahs. So what I want to say today is sort of like it's sort of like a jumble. Maybe it'll come together, but it's been known to happen. But I was thinking the Sunday Times. This is not about the present United States. The Sunday Times had a scurrilous article about whether Israel, that they invested like about 10 million reporters in. Was Israel guilty of a war crime? Possibly. Possibly Israel was guilty of a war crime. And it got me, it reminded me of something I had read a long, long time ago. There's a wonderful little memoir by Norman Malcolm. Norman Malcolm was taught for many, many years, was professor of philosophy at Cornell. But he had been a student in Cambridge with none other than the greatest philosopher of the 20th century, Ludwig Wittgenstein, right? Whom almost nobody understood, number one, and almost nobody could sit in a class of his because he was an impossible teacher. It's a memoir that Norman Malcolm wrote that I really advise. I would be glad to lend it to you, but I lent it out one time too many. And that means that I didn't get it. I don't have it anymore. But he tells the following story, and it is apropos of New York Times and apropos of a question I want to ask. He says they were once walking in he together with Wittgenstein were walking in Cambridge, okay, and this is in 1939. You'll understand what the reference was. So they saw a newspaper, they used to have newspaper vendors, and newspapers would be printed on paper. That's where the term newspaper comes from. And the vendors, they still had it in England when I was there, where they had a sign in front of them what the news was in the paper, right? Which is pretty hard because most of the papers in England have no news in them whatsoever. Right? Today, anyway. So there was a sign saying that in the paper there was the German government had accused the British government of instigating an attempt to assassinate Hitler. Okay? So Wittgenstein says, well, it wouldn't surprise me if it were true. So Malcolm said, no, the British are too civilized and decent to attempt anything so underhand, and this is a quote, and such an act was incompatible with the British national character. This would be incompatible with the British national character. Wittgenstein flew into a temper fury and broke off his relationship with Malcolm for quite a while, and then 5 years later wrote him the following letter. Quote, "Whenever I thought of you," Wittgenstein is writing, "I couldn't help thinking of a particular incident which seemed to me very important. You made a remark about national character that shocked me by its primitiveness. I then thought, what is the use of studying philosophy? What's the use of studying philosophy if all that it does for you is to enable you to talk with some plausibility about some abstruse questions of logic, etc., and if it does not improve your thinking about the important questions of everyday life?" Now, of course, this is a remarkable thing, because Wittgenstein, in his, if you try to read Wittgenstein, you'll recognize that this is an A and this is a B, but you won't know what it has to do with everyday life. But nonetheless, philosophy should improve your thinking about the important questions of everyday life. If it does not make you more conscientious than any journalist in the use of the dangerous phrases such people use for their own ends. Everything that we study, there's a question. Everything that you learn in Torah, there's a question. You know the question because you're always asking it all the time in Shir, in Gemara Shir certainly. What's the nafkamina? What's the difference? What's the difference? And, you know, the success in the yeshiva is often determined on the ability of the person to find, if you say this way, it goes like that. And if you say that way, it goes like that. What's the nafkamina? What is the difference whether you explain something one way or another? And I want to talk about a big issue of nafkamina. And the big issue of nafkamina is, what's the difference in our lives as Jews? What's the difference in our life of the way we look at the world, the way we understand things, the way we think we should be, and the way we think that we should act? I'm not talking about the specific confines, definitions of, do I put on my tefillin this way or do I put on my tefillin that way? What's the nafkamina in life? In what way are we to be not simply on an intellectual level, but on a living, real level? What difference does it make to me in life? Am I successful every day in following the advice that the Ramban gives to his son, writing back to him from Eretz Yisrael when he's abandoned Spain and abandoned his family, and he writes a letter back to his son? This is the whole letter, right? He's supposed to read according to the Ramban once every week. But he tells him, every time you finish learning, before you leave the sefer, figure out what difference is it going to make. What can you do? What you can be? How can you change your life in some way? What's the nafkamina? He doesn't use the term nafkamina, but nonetheless, right? The Gemara in Kedushin says, when we're talking about learning, Talmud Gadol, the word Gadol. Talmud is great. Why? Can somebody complete the Talmud Gadol? Maybe Lidei Maisa. The Gemara in Kedushin raises the question, is Talmud Gadol or is Masa Gadol? So it says Talmud is Gadol. So we have Talmud and Masa. If I don't activate Torah in the way I, not just the details of action, of knowledge, the lumdus, if you will, but in the, and not just the learning, but if it doesn't become my life, those people this we learned this morning in the Rambam about. There is a Gemara that I run the risk of getting into trouble for saying. It's a famous Gemara that everybody knows. But it's a Gemara of Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan. Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan, Gemara of Odezor, Rabbi Chanina ben Trajan, goes to visit Yossi ben Kisma, right, who's sick. He pays him, and it's in Rome. Yossi ben Kisma says, listen, I hear that you're teaching Torah publicly. Don't you know that they're going to kill you? Don't you realize that they're going to burn you together with the Sefer Torah for this infringement of Roman law? And Yossi and Chanina ben Trajan says, from heaven they'll have mercy on me. They should have mercy on me. And Yossi ben Kisma says, I'm telling you something that makes sense. Don't tell me min hashamayim yirachamu. So, and that is exactly what happened to Chanina ben Trajan. He was brought to the stake, and they wrapped the Sefer Torah around him. And that's how he died, a martyr's death. But he asks Yossi ben Kisma, Ma ani l'chay olam abo? What about olam haba? So what would you expect Yossi ben Kisma to be saying? Well, listen, you're sacrificing your life for teaching of Torah. But he doesn't say. He says, Klu masa bo liyodcha. Did some masa, did you do something? Tell me what you've done. He tells a story that the money that he had for the Anim got mixed up for Purim, got mixed up with his own money, and he gave it all away to Tzedakah. He says, if so, then your portion in Olam Haba, I wish it were my portion. It's just a wonderful portion. Notice, a person can learn Torah all his life, can sacrifice his life for the learning of Torah. But the question is, Klum Masa. What did it change you in some way? Did it affect you in some way? Did you become a different person? Did you grow from that? It's not merely an intellectual. It's the nafgamina in life. Well, this is a question we have to ask ourselves. Right? It's a question you have to ask yourself. You leave yeshiva, you're not sitting, when you leave yeshiva, and for those who have left yeshiva, you're not sitting in the base medrash all day anymore. Right? How has it transformed you? And I tell you one thing. A person who is not looking for transformation, a person who doesn't learn Torah with the idea, I want to find in Torah something that will make me better than I am. A person whose idea in life is not that life is a constant process of growth will not grow, will not be transformed. We come and we put up shields and we put up blocks. Indeed, even now, while I'm speaking, a person could be saying, "Listen, you know, like okay." Rabbi, say something interesting. Because I'm interested in learning interesting things. No, I'm not interested in saying anything interesting. I'm interested that somehow or other, something that I say should either be transformative for one person in this Beis Medrash. even if that person is only me. And Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma's question is, has it changed you? Have you ever been able to confront something in life where it wasn't so clear what you should do, but you knew what to do because you had been transformed through Torah? There's a... If the focus on the words Gadol and Masa. Once again, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says Klum Masa. A Masa shel Klum. But the Gemara in Bava Metzia talks again the words. I'm focusing on words. Words, words, words. I quoted Shakespeare. Words, words, words. Right? Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Hanina are having an argument. Not Hanina ben Tradya, but the different Rabbi Hanina. They're having an argument. And so Rabbi Hanina says, listen, you're going to argue with me? Yeah, argue with me. If, you know, I'm adding words. You know how smart I am? You know what a Talmud Chacham I am? If the Torah were forgotten, I could reconstruct it. Right? Hey, who are you to argue with? You know, you get a chavrusa, you get a little hot under the collar, so don't argue with me. Right? If the Torah were forgotten, I would reconstruct it. And Rabbi Chia says, what are you talking about? You're arguing with me? If the Torah... You say if the Torah were forgotten, I was the one who made sure that the Torah was not forgotten. And he tells a story. There's no education going on, so he writes down makes five kumashim and this shisha sidrei mishnah. He goes around, he teaches little kids, and he's a Talmud Torah teacher, a grade one teacher. But I made sure that the Torah was not forgotten. So there are two kinds of smart. There's the nafkamina of the concept. And there's a nafkamina in life. And the smartness in life you understand that the Torah is about transformation leads Rabbi Yudan Nossi, the Rebbe, to say Gedolim Masei Chia are great. Masei, right? Because he understands that what the Torah demands of me. Look, you imagine Rabbi Chia, he wants to sit in, you know what Rabbi Chia wants to do all day long? He wants to sit and learn Reb Chaim's. Rabbi Chia Eggers. What is he doing? He says, my responsibility in life is to do what? At this point, I have to leave the Beis Medrash, I have to close the Gemara, I have to stop with the Svaras, I have to go in and teach little kids. Bereishis Bara Elokim. What? Gracious Paralakim? He's Rabbi Chia! Rabbi Chia! To know what the right thing to do, to know what is expected of me, to know what I have to expect of myself, and to understand that that is beyond, that is the nth degree of Torah. An amazing, as there is an argument that they had in Beit Nitzah, the Gemara says it in Kedushin, about whether Talmud Gadol or Masa Gadol, there is an argument in the Gemara Neirivin between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel that lasted, for how long did it last? A year and a half? Was it a year and a half? Is that what it talks about? Okay, I'll look in the Gemara. No? 2.5 years. Tanu Rabbanu Shtei Shonim Emechza Nechleku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. They're arguing about something for 2 years. What's the point that they're arguing about for 2 years? Halalu omrim noach lo la'adam shalo nivra yoter mishnivra. V'halalu omrim noach lo la'adam shenivra yoter mishalo nivra. They're arguing about, how should I translate this? Noach lo la'adam shenivra or noach lo shalo nivra? How do you translate that?
Humanity should or shouldn't have been created.
Humanity shouldn't, yeah, but you've left out a word. Noah. And humanity is, I would just say personalize it. For a person, for me. Right? And the word Noah lo la'adam doesn't say it would have been better not to create it. It said Noah lo la'adam. So it would have been easier, right? Noah menucha, to be created or not created, right? Can you imagine that argument? That's what they were talking about? For 2.5 years? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the schools of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. 2.5 years? And then you have the most wonderful, oddly wonderful, Nimnu V'Gamru. What's Nimnu V'Gamru mean? Nimnu V'Gamru is a technical term. What does it imply? In the Gemara, no? They what? They voted. Nimnu. They counted up. Nimnu v'gamru. Right? Nimnu v'gamru. And they counted up and they concluded. Majority decision. Right? Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra me'osa mishenivra. It would have been more comfortable. Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra yosa mishenivra. Right? Wow. You know, imagine a psak halacha like that. Imagine putting it to a psak halacha. Right? But it isn't the end of the decision. Achshav shenivra, now that man has been created, yefash beish b'masa, he should examine his ma'asim. Right? It's like this Gemara is an astounding Gemara to have a psak halacha on something like that. So I think the pshat in the Gemara is like this. You know, you talk endlessly, we talk endlessly about theory. But in the end, you have to stop talking. Let's stop talking. Right? Let's say, Noach l'adam shelo nivra. It would have been better. Not better, it would have been easier. Right? But we are here. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do brings me to my ma'asim. To what I do, to the way I am, to the way I act in this world, to the way I impact in this world, to the difference that I make. Nimnu v'gamru, the school of Shammai and Hillel, they came to the conclusion, they paskined, as it were, that this is a sterile debate. And sterile debates, exactly what Wittgenstein is saying, life is about living life, making decisions. It's not about theory. It's not about arguing whether, you know, Noach l'adam, not Noach l'adam, right? Again, yefash beish b'masov, gedolim ma'aseh chiyot, chlu ma'aseh bol yodcha. How do you act in and impact on the world of which you are part? The world of which you are a part is, for many of you, the yeshiva that you are in now. And for others, at this sicha, it's for the community in which you find yourself. Right? And the question is, what is the place of Torah in your lives and whatever situation you find yourself? Whether it's here in the yeshiva, the place of Torah in your life goes beyond the lumdus. It goes to the point of whether or not, at least once a week, you sit down and say, what have I learned this week that I should consider, that would somehow make me live a life that would be better. Bettering myself. Being a child of the Ramban and reading his letter and applying it. Being somebody who is there when Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai come to the decision. It would be better if I didn't have to deal with it. It would have been easier if I didn't have to deal with it. But I have to deal with it. The Yafash Beish B'masav. And so, the question that I want to leave you with is really, there's a moment, very tremendously moving moment, you know, Eliyahu, a Navi, on Har HaKarmel, he wins. But it's a kind of a Pyrrhic victory, because his life is really in a mess, right? And he runs away to the desert and he says, enough! I don't want to have to do with people anymore, right? I want to escape, right? And he has this experience with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who appears to him, who announces himself to him, not in the earthquake, and not in the fire, and not in the great storm, but in the cold, the mama daka. I know it's the age, Mr. Lev, I know it's the age of Robert Alter, but the King James of the still small voice is just majestically poetic. I haven't seen the translation for kol demama daka. The translation kol demama daka is the sound of what? The sound of demama. What is demama? What? Nobody has anything to say? Silence? It's silence. Demama is silence. Vayido maron. Demama daka. Demama daka is the demama that if you're alone in the Kalahari Desert at night, you'll hear the sound of demama daka. I imagine, never having been alone or in the Kalahari alone. Kol demama daka, and God says, you can't abandon the world. And he gives him missions. And one of the missions is to find this Elisha ben Shaphat, the prophet, the person who will become the great disciple of Eliyahu. And he is far, far from a prophet at this point in time. And Eliyahu goes, and here it's very important that you listen. Eliyahu goes, and when he finds Elisha, what is Elisha doing? He's involved in major commerce or business. He's plowing, and he has a huge combine that he's plowing with. He's very wealthy farmer. Vayelech misham vayimtza et Elisha ben Shaphat v'uchoreh shnei masar tzmadim lefanav v'hu b'shnei ma'asar. What does Eliyahu do? It doesn't say anything to him. Vayavor Eliyahu elav vayishlach adar to'olav elav. Eliyahu throws his cloak, right? Very important you listen. Very important you hear. Right now, try listen to the sound of Eliyahu's cloak. And it touches Elisha. And Elisha, vayazov et habakar vayaratz, he says, he's touched. He's touched by the cloak of Eliyahu. Something has transformed him. There is an existentially critical moment in his life. And he says, let me go back. Right? And Eshkona lo viulimi ve'elcho acharecha. And then I'll go after you. Vayomer lo, Eliyahu says, what? Leich? Okay, go back. Leich, shuv. Kimeh ositi lach. Ki me asiti lach. What have I done to you? Nothing. Me asiti lach. There are moments in life, okay, where we have to somehow either grab the moment and understand that the decision has to be made, that there's a nafka mina in my life, that there's a watershed moment. And life after that moment will either be same old, or it'll be a different life. Because somehow I've become a different person. I've grown. I've made a decision. I heard the sound of silence that is the sound of the cloak of Eliyahu whirling towards me. What is the use of studying philosophy? What is the use of studying anything if all it does for you is enable you to talk with some plausibility about some abstruse question? Noach la'adam shelo nivra va'achshav shenivra yifashvesh b'masav. It requires not an act of wisdom to do that, but an act of will. But if we will it, we will be wise.
Guys, Masha and Makar are here on the Bima.
My guys, just come in a second here.
What is the sound of my niece?
Terrible.
No, it's not.